Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Lessons Unlocked podcast. I'm your host, Colleen McCracken, and I couldn't be more excited to start this podcast. I've been looking for ways to increase music education accessibility, and I think that this podcast can make a difference. The Lessons Unlocked podcast uses a virtual platform to engage with student musicians through masterclass-style instruction. Students may submit a recording of their playing for in-depth feedback to be shared with all listeners. This way, students who submit can get feedback, and any other student with access to the podcast can learn from the masterclass. I've been playing the flute for about 14 years now, and I'm currently pursuing a Master of Music in Flute Performance. I think playing the flute is one of the most enjoyable things in the world, and I hope some of you share that feeling. I'm originally from Southern Illinois, and I grew up taking lessons with Dr. Shelley Munier at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. Since then, I've been able to study the flute with Julie Thornton, Michelle Avignol, and now Dr. Erica Boysen. If you're curious to know more about me, you can find some information at ColleenMcCracken-flute.com, and I'll include that link in the description. On this podcast, we will explore music history, including biographical information on composers, practice techniques, an organization highlight, a piece of the week, and names to know, all in addition to our masterclasses. The name to know for this episode is Valerie Coleman. She is a prominent composer and well-respected flutist. The following is from the biography she shares on her website. Valerie Coleman is regarded by many as an iconic flutist who continues to pave her own unique path as a composer, Grammy-nominated flutist, and entrepreneur. Highlighted as one of the top 35 women composers by the Washington Post, she was named Performance Today's 2020 Classical Woman of the Year, an honor bestowed to an individual who has made a significant contribution to classical music as a performer, composer, or educator. Her works have garnered awards such as the MAP Fund, the ASCAP Honors Award, Chamber Music America's Classical Commissioning Program, Herb Alpert Ragdale Residency Award, and nominations from the American Academy of Arts and Letters and United States Artists. What an incredible biography, and that isn't even all of it. For more information on the incredible Valerie Coleman, please go to valeriecoleman.com. I'll include that link in the description. This week's piece of the week is Umoja, Anthem for Unity by Valerie Coleman, which was chosen by Chamber Music America as one of the top 101 great American ensemble works and is now a staple of woodwind literature. This piece was written for the Amani Winds Woodwind Quintet, which includes a flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon, and French horn. This instrumentation of ensemble is pretty standard for chamber music, but the Amani Winds are far from standard. They're known for presenting outstanding, new, diverse works. Valerie Coleman, the composer of Umoja, was a founding member of the Amani Winds. They actually have a published recording of Umoja, which I'd highly recommend you listen to after this episode. Here's a little bit about the piece from a publication by Dr. Amanda Sowell on interlochen.com. Umoja is a Swahili word meaning unity. It is the principle of the first day of Kwanzaa. Valerie Coleman's piece Umoja has grown and evolved and taken many different forms in more than 20 years since she first composed it. The very first version of Umoja was a piece for women's choir composed to celebrate the first day of Kwanzaa. The music featured a repeated melody and call and response form, and the lyrics summon children of all to hear the winds call because it's time for unity. Coleman has said that this first version embodied tribal unity and the sense of a drum circle in which participants are sharing oral histories together. As I mentioned, the piece ended up being popularized as a wind quintet, but has since been arranged for many different ensembles, including symphony orchestra. Dr. Sowell states in her article that Coleman reworked the choral piece Umoja for her new wind quintet, the Amani Winds, and the piece quickly became one of the ensemble signatures. Amani Winds' first album was even called Umoja. Coleman said that she wanted the piece Umoja to serve as an anthem for Amani Winds to celebrate the individual members' diverse heritages. I'll remind you to give the piece a listen at the end of the episode. This week's highlighted organization is the Flute Society of St. Louis. The Flute Society of St. Louis is a nonprofit organization operated by a board of directors that work on a volunteer basis. This organization strives to provide its members with activities that showcase the flute in professional and educational development. They provide events that cater to the needs of a diverse audience, which includes students, amateurs, professionals, and teachers. Their primary goal is to offer flutists of all ages events that educate and enrich their knowledge of the flute, its performance, and its repertoire. This organization is very special to me because it is the first flute society that I ever joined, which I think happened when I was about 10 years old. The Flute Society of St. Louis offers recitals and master classes with internationally acclaimed artists, flute festivals, workshops, lectures, demonstrations, student competitions, adult flute choir performing groups, youth flute choir performing groups, and an annual member showcase. They recently co-hosted a flute day at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville with the SIUE Flute Club. Their guests were Laurel Zucker and Daniel Dorf. Thankfully, I was in town for the day, and I got to attend this awesome event. Way to go, Flute Society of St. Louis. For more information on them, please check out flutesocietyofstlouis.com. Our performer today is Olivia from Illinois, playing Allegro from Leonardo da Vinci's Sonata for Flute and Basso Continuo. Now, da Vinci isn't known for his music, so I had to do some digging to get background on this piece. I am unable to find the exact date of composition, but we know da Vinci lived from 1690 to 1730, which puts this piece in the Baroque period. If you'd like to follow along with Olivia's playing, a copy of the score is available on imslp.com. If you're unfamiliar with IMSLP, it stands for International Music Score Library Project. This website provides free copies of music as well as free recordings. They do have to follow copyright laws, of course, so not every piece is on there, but most works from before 1930 can be found on the website. Again, it's imslp.com, and I'll include a link in the description. Olivia, take it away. Thank you so much for sharing this piece with us. I want to start by pointing out something you did very well. You had minimal use of vibrato. In the Baroque tradition, we generally avoid vibrato unless using it as an ornament. Ornaments are little embellishments added to the music by the performer and are an expectation on Baroque music. On the topic of ornaments, another thing you did well was starting the trills from the note above, like this. As opposed to starting on the lower note of the trill. It's standard for this time period to start trills from the note above, so nice job catching that detail. There are other kinds of ornaments I think you could incorporate in this piece. That could be a mordant, which is similar to a trill, but we only play the upper note once. A turn, where we play the starting note, then the upper note, and then the starting note again, then the lower note, and then we end back on the starting note. And another one is a Nachschlag or a cadential trill. Where we end a trill by adding a mordant on the following note. Nachschlags are a bit more complicated because we often need to identify a cadential point before we use it. Now you could go through and add a harmonic analysis to your sheet music and find where the piece goes from a 5 chord to a 1 chord, or for more complicated pieces, other chords to a 1 chord. Or you could trust your gut with what sounds final. I tend to trust my gut, no offense to music theory. I see on the IMSLP copy of the music that Nachschlags are added to all 4 trills in this piece. I don't necessarily think that is incorrect, but I likely wouldn't have added those myself. However, if you like how they sound, play them. The composer died a long time ago and will not be offended if you break a made-up rule. A nice bonus of Baroque music is that we often get to choose our own articulation pattern. In that time period, composers left a lot of choices up to the performer, so you can take many liberties and still remain in the Baroque style. For example, on the 3rd line of the 2nd page, I would change the articulation written to a staccato on the 1st note with a slur over the following 3 notes, and I'd do the same thing on beat 1 of the following measure. I'll play that for you. Similar pattern on the 1st page on the 3rd line. I think the audience might prefer bringing that pattern back on the 2nd page, and I also think it makes the note pattern easier to play. I'd encourage you to check out the copy on IMSLP just to give you some more ideas on articulation and ornamentation. Not to say that that copy is somehow more correct than yours, but I think it has some good ideas that might lead to some good ideas of your own. I'd also check out some recordings of other flutists playing this piece for some more inspiration. I noticed that your tempo wasn't completely consistent throughout the recording. A good rule for determining which tempo to play is by going at the speed at which you can play the hardest section. It's easy to start too quick. It's something that almost all of us tend to do. So I will normally write on the top of my page to think about the tempo of the hardest section and sing through it in my head before starting. And remember, playing under tempo is totally okay. I also think that we could have had some more dynamics throughout the recording. Now, recording a piece, dynamics are always going to sound a little bit different than if they were being performed live, so take this with a grain of salt. I didn't hear a whole lot of dynamic contrast, so I would think about really overemphasizing anything he wrote. He didn't write down many dynamics in this work, so I think you should add some of your own. And I think a good place to add your own dynamics would be from around measure 10 through that fermata, since there isn't anything happening dynamically, but there's so much happening musically and technically, and I think some dynamics would really add to that section. Thank you so much to our performer today, Olivia from Illinois. I appreciate your bravery in recording yourself, sending it to someone, and especially sending it to someone knowing that they're going to post it online. That's something that is terrifying to just about any musician you can find. So thank you so much for being brave and doing that for us today. Before I finish up the episode, I'd love to talk a little bit about why I decided to start this podcast. I started the Lessons Unlocked podcast with an idea to create something that could meet the needs of communities who cannot engage with live, in-person masterclasses. Growing up in a small town surrounded by rural communities, I had to wonder about the opportunities available to young musicians who do not have easily accessible music lesson or masterclass opportunities. I also felt concerned for those without the funds to pay for lessons or masterclass experiences. And that's what led me to start this podcast. This podcast is an accessible option for masterclass-style music education, something I'm very passionate about, and I hope you are too. And now, as a thank you to our performer from today and to all future performers, I'm including some of my own playing from back in 2018 to play us out. Thank you all for listening to the first ever episode of the Lessons Unlocked podcast. Thank you to our performer of the day, Olivia, and a final thank you to all music educators. You are so appreciated. Go listen to the Amani Winds play Umoja by Valerie Coleman, and I'll have more for you next week. Bye!